From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. Indeed, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we are rejoicing and glad to welcome in Bishop-elect Ray Bercival. Bishop, welcome.
Good morning to everyone, and good morning, Bob. So it's
what an exciting time for the Diocese of Sacramento, for all of us, and everybody who knows you and loves you. But what kind of a time is it for you?
I thought by this time, after that information coming from the nuncio, it would mellow it down. But I think my emotion is, as it gets closer to the final days of my ordination, there is some intensity in there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So the emotion is, I was just sharing my emotion today in the parish at St. Francis when they were asking me about how is it now. And I said, I don't own anything now in my life and time, because there are times that I have to be pulled out for some greater call.
Mm-hmm. So explain how you found out. You're a pastor at St. Francis now in downtown Sacramento, and previously at my pastor in
yes.
Davis, and everybody was really sorry to see you go. But you would come over occasionally and visit us, and sometimes go to a basketball game, and we'd
yes.
see you. And how did you find out?
Two Sundays ago, I was doing the usual Sunday schedules, 7:30 Mass. And then after my homily, I was sitting down waiting for the prayers of the faithful. And then I got a call, since I have an eye.
During Mass.
I have an eye watch.
Yeah.
I look at the eye watch, it's vibrating, and it says Vatican Embassy.
Wow.
So I thought I was in trouble.
You're done. You can't even finish Mass.
I was like, oh, maybe I should wait. So after the first Mass, so I did call, and I said, this is Ray, Father Ray from St. Francis. I got a call from this office. I don't know what is this all about, so I'm here. I had just finished my first Mass. Coming up is the second Mass, which is at 9:30. But before the 9:30, it rang again. And it was the Cardinal, Nuncio.
Now he's in Washington, D.C.?
In Washington, D.C., when he was calling, and I did not understand well what he was talking about, and all I could hear is the cardinal. I said, I thought that was the secretary of the office.
Mm-hmm.
And so until finally he said, this is the nuncio. And that's where I stopped and take a deep breath. I was like, good morning, cardinal, nuncio. And then he was talking about my age, asking my age, 59, and I said, running 60 this year, October. And then he asked another question, like, how long have I been in this country? Because he knows that I came from the Philippines. So I said, 25 years already. And I was like, good. And then the next question was my health. I said, what is this, FBI? And I said, well, I think I am healthy because I walk almost every day, 4 miles at least. So I feel good, and everything is good. I think the stats is pretty good. And so after that conversation, he said, you know that the Pope has appointed you to become an auxiliary bishop of the Diocese of Sacramento. And that's where I was frozen.
Oh.
And then I was just going to talk for a short while. And then I think he felt it, that I was nervous and worried and scared. And so he assured me, like, I know that feeling is normal. And so he said, so yes, you accept this one. Yes, yes. So there was a series of yes that almost put into my mouth. And finally he said, you say yes? And I said, yes, Cardinal. So after that, he said, call your bishop and then call me back right away. So I thought I could have another day because I have another second Mass, 9:30. So I did the second Mass. And then after my second mass, I have meetings with parents because I have classes with parents while sure. kids are on sessions. And then I have the rehearsal for First Communion, rehearsal for confirmation.
Confirmation, yeah.
And then after that, I went home taking my lunch. And then I just started my lunch. And then maybe a fourth of my food. And the phone rings again. And he said, "Did you call your bishop?" And I said, "I'm still having my nourishment, Cardinal, so I will probably call later." I said, "No, now call." So I, from that time on, I did not have food because I could not even feel what it's food like.
But yeah.
And so I just called our bishop, Jaime Soto. And he was like, I think he was already prepped because, like, and then he asked me to come down to see me in his house. So, and that was the story of my the day that the Lord has made. Maybe
the day the Lord has made. Were you rejoicing and glad?
I was scared. Yeah. And very, very overwhelmed. And the bishop was very supportive, and he said, you know, it's the same feeling I have. He told me when he was also called by the nuncio. So I just stay with those emotions that inexplicable,
yeah,
very incomprehensible, so to speak. And then I was told not to say anything.
Yeah, that must be hard.
That is even more worse because it's... My heart is about to jump out of my chest yeah. and run away from me.
Yep, yeah.
And then we went for a retreat from Monday to Friday, and I could not even talk to anybody, even to my close
this
friends.
This is a priest retreat?
Priest retreat. Yeah. And even my friend Dan Looney, we could not even talk about all these things. So then on the Saturday when it was out, 3 o'clock in the morning here, 6 in Washington and 12 midnight in Rome. So I got a call, a lot of messages from the Philippines because apparently it was also out in the Philippines. So all media form, print and electronic. So all my relatives were talking about, oh. And so I was, all the more were like, what is this? Is this real now? So my heart is still jumping up and down. And trying to understand the call, and a lot of people are very supportive, though. The parish, St. Francis, and then the presbyterate, you know, the priest in mm-hmm. the diocese were all texting me about their support, and it's very consoling, as much as I am really, overwhelmed. But their texting and messages about prayer and support there always, every step of the journey of this new call. So, and then the bishop was very, very supportive, checking up on me and how I'm feeling. So, it's good to have support from our brother bishop, too, and also Bishop William Wigan. And it's apparent that his message to the media is very, very consoling.
Mm-hmm.
That I may not be worthy of this, but I will try my best to serve the best I can, as I have promised to the Pope, to uphold with utmost reverence of this episcopal charge.
Is it something as a, you've been in this country 25 years?
25 years.
That's when we started the show, was the year you came, 25 years ago.
Yeah, with Bishop Wigan.
With Bishop Wigan, yeah. It was his idea. So has it ever crossed your mind about being a bishop in any at any time? Like, what would that be like?
Very interesting, because I'll be 60 this year, October. And so the last gathering we have for the priests, I talked to my peers like Father Mark Richards about the plan. In 5 years, it's good to retire because we're still able to help out rather than to be taken care of by other people. So to be more, worthwhile the time remaining. So that was our plan. My peers in that age bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I get this call, and Father Mark Richard texts me, "So much for that." So never expect, and even now, I just cannot imagine, you know, the change. I think this is my another call in life, you know, to serve my entire life.
Yeah, well, yeah, and a bishop retirement age is 75.
I don't know if I'm still alive at the time, but that's the retirement age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and even then, sometimes the Pope has the option to say, no, stick around a while longer.
Around, I know.
So, a parish priest is a very busy person. So you're used to being busy, but it seems like even as a bishop, you're going to be pulled in so many directions.
I could feel it now, even now, because while I'm working regularly in my primary duty as a pastor, like Friday I have a wedding and then mm-hmm. a mass and then meetings with people, and then masses on the weekends, and then there's a festival today and I have to be there. And then tomorrow I have another duty here in the office. So it's kind of tight. Mm-hmm. So I told the church today that, you know, because my time is not my time. So if there are things that I could not give the full 100% attention of other things that I have promised, it is because I am on the other side of my responsibility.
Right.
So it's kind of tight. But the bishop has promised to be given an assistant to help me out so that I could also do my other duties.
So you'll remain a pastor there for until the 31st of May when you're ordained, or will there be at some point?
I do not know the real score, but the bishop says I might stay there for a few months for the transition while looking
And stay in residence there as well.
Stay in residence and as a pastor and having an assistant until we find somebody that would take my place.
Right.
Then I could move to full-time here.
Wow. So are there other natives of the Philippines who are bishops in the United States that you're aware of?
There are four. I'm the fifth.
You're the fifth.
I'm the fifth Filipino appointed by the Pope.
Are any of
to
them
serve in this country?
Are there any in California?
No, not in California, but the latest one was in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Father Efren Smelia, but the third was in Texas, and then there was the second, L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. There is one in L.A., and then the first one was Oscar Solis, which is in Utah.
Oh, in Utah?
In Utah.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
so you're in rare company.
Yeah, it's scary.
do you communicate with your fellow priests or bishops from the Philippines?
From the Philippines, yes. But we also have our associations here, which I am one of. I belong to the leadership team.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, before the appointment, we had our meeting for the 2026 National Assembly for all the Filipino priests here in the United States, which will happen in San Francisco, only to realize that after that meeting of that week, then Sunday I was called to by the Pope.
Wow.
So we never knew that.
Wow. My hometown of Davis, as you well know, had the first Filipino mayor in the United States.
That's true.
In Ruth Asmundson.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was quite a seller. She came to Davis as a student at UC Davis.
That was a beautiful story too.
It really is. And met Bigfus.
To get married.
Yeah, and he was a native of Davis. He'd been in Davis. His family had been in Davis. They're one of the pioneer families in Davis.
And very Catholic too.
And very Catholic.
Member of the choir.
Yes,
I remember
exactly.
That story.
Yes, yeah. And that was a great story at the time.
That was a great story
as well. So, go back if you would to the Philippines and talk a little bit about your vocation.
Yeah, I think it started with my parents, especially in their faithfulness to the church. And every single Sunday, I think without missing, we go to church because it's only two blocks away from our house. Until I was interested into altar serving.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's a beautiful opportunity to plant vocation, I think, mm-hmm. if altar serving and coming to church. And then after that, in high school, I was involved in youth ministry and very much involved in the parish life, especially in the environment, because I like arts.
Mm-hmm.
So the pastor was a missionary, always calling me out to help out in his, visuals about giving some messages and homilies with visuals that I draw, that I put it all together. So that was, I think I would rather credit everything from my parents, aside from the daily rosary that, 8 o'clock in the evening.
8 o'clock in the evening,
yep. 8 o'clock in the evening, praying the rosary.
I had those parents too.
Oh, yeah. Kneel down.
Yes.
Kneeling down, praying the rosary, because if you don't, the devil will get you.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what happened. So
I still can feel my knees going against the bricks.
Sometimes when you're a kid, like praying the rosary at 8 o'clock in the evening after playing with your friends outside earlier, so you feel sleepy, and then you get a wake up, you get a wake up nod,
yes,
nudging at you,
yes.
So and then I think I mentioned also in my video message that I did not quite understand at the time, because I just go with my moms in their faithfulness to the church. But it was only in high school when I saw the missionary, Columban missionaries. They were assigned in our parish, a small town. And then I saw them, how beautiful it is that they did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw how selfless they were. I mean, in the journey of every parishioners, because I was there, I was watching. So I think subconsciously it had drawn my attention, and then that was I get interested,
mm-hmm.
interested, and then through some friends, that's where I applied the seminary, and there were three of us applying, and I was the only one accepted.
And how old were you at that time?
I was 16 years old.
Okay.
In the time when I like to be, somebody that so cool to follow.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. So that started, and 16, I took my philosophy in Jesuit school, and then and theology. And then after 10 years, I was ordained 26 years old, the youngest at that time. Then I became a priest.
So were you a parish priest in the Philippines?
Yes, I was. After the ordination, I was assigned to a parish as an assistant to my former rector in seminary. So what a good mentor.
Yeah.
What a good mentor. So, and that is where after 3-6 months, I was moved to a parish in charge, administrator. And then after 1 year, I was moved as a pastor in a bigger church. And then after that, I was finally assigned to a church where there is a school.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I was acting like as an interim superintendent, because the superintendent at that time from the Catholic school was gone. So while I'm taking the charge, I took some classes for education, hoping that I could get some my master's. But I did not finish that because the bishop at that time has so many things for me to do. Aside from, he pulled me out from the parish and made me as chancellor. At the same time, as assessor for tribunal for the metropolitan, and then mission society director for Asia, members of the team. So all those things, and then finally, upon the request of Bishop Wigan, that this diocese has requesting for a priest from the Philippines. So he told me that maybe it is a good exposure for me to come out to a bigger world, because the church is bigger than what we have in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
Especially at that time, as a chancellor, I've been receiving, I should say, a lot of visitors from Germany, from here, mostly bishops that would visit the country. So he told me, my former archbishop, rest in peace, he said, you go there for 3 years, and that will make you, widen your a vision about the church, and I think it will help all even better for you. So I don't know what is that design about, and I came, and after, from Davis. I started in Davis.
You started in Davis?
And then After in Davis, I was signed here in Sacramento area. And in my third year, I was supposed to go home because that was the contract.
Right.
And then Bishop Wigan asked for an extension. And I said, that's not the call. I would love to, but that decision that has to be made by the bishop. So he wrote a letter to the bishop. And then long story short, that's what happened. I was transplanted. And yeah, never came back, never went back.
At what point did you know you weren't going back to the Philippines ever? I mean, other than to visit.
Other than vacations. It was when, after the request from Bishop Wigan and then after the communication made by back in the Philippines, that at that point where when it was the process of incardination and excardination, so they have to send a letter that I'll be excardinated for me to be incardinated here.
Right.
So at that point when I received those info, I think that's it. And at that time, because it was like a ban, so you know, to be announced in the church. And my mom, when my mom heard it, she was not happy.
I bet.
when it was announced in our church, like, Father Ray Bersabal is no longer a member of this diocese.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember quite well when she said, but you're still my son. Okay. So, I said, yeah, that was the point where I realized that, yeah, the transplant is done. Yeah.
Wow. There are mixed feelings?
It was a mixed feeling. I was happy that I could continue what I started already here. But at the same time, the feeling of, wow, I don't belong there anymore. I have invested a lot of time in that country and even in working with the church over there for 7 years.
So. And it's your home.
And it's at home and my family is there. And yeah, that's... But, you know, I grew with that feeling here, to be here. And then I was so happy that completing the full circle, I went to Davis.
Yes, yes.
And then only to be asked to move to St. Francis.
Mm-hmm.
And then after almost 2 years, then I got another call. So who knows what's going to happen in my life. So I would give that to the Lord.
Yeah.
I would give that to the Lord.
Yeah, which is what we should all do in our lives.
Yeah, I think.
No matter our occupation. So you spent some time in Folsom, is that right?
8 years.
8 years at St. John the Baptist.
At St. John the Baptist. And then in my last 3 months, I was also working in the prison ministry over there. So saying masses and visiting the inmates. So a beautiful experience.
Yeah.
Scary, but things that I have seen in the movie, when I was there, it brings back to some kind of, wow, it's real.
It's real.
I have seen in the, you know, the clanking of the iron bars. Like,
yeah.
That was only in the movie that I saw and hear, but when I was there, because...
I remember when I was in college at UC Davis, and we would go down to... the prison in Vacaville to do some legal counseling.
Like,
I mean, we weren't lawyers, but we were in law school and we could talk to the inmates and see if maybe we could help them in some way, you know. And that was the clank behind me.
I know.
It just took your breath. You weren't ready for it.
Exactly. Exactly. We have the same feeling then. Because
It bypasses the brain. It just, boom. Yeah.
And, you know, for how many times I would go there, I thought I would get used to it. Like, every time it bangs and clanks, it brings back the same feeling.
It does.
The same feeling.
I can't imagine it. And Folsom Prison has always been sort of notorious.
Especially when it's the hardcore.
The hardcore, yeah. So, any other parishes you were with?
I was, actually, after Davis, I went to St. Anthony with... bless his soul, Monsignor Brendan O'Sullivan.
Right, so right.
Another mentor after Dan Looney. Right. And then I think he was very instrumental of my stay here because he was trying to convince me to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that time I was active with the youth group and building up the youth group at St. Anthony. I said, no, you should stay here. So I think I would credit
That's the St. Anthony on Florin Road.
In Florin Road.
Not the one in Winters.
St. Anthony on Florin Road. So then after 3 years or 2 years over there, and or almost three, I was assigned as a pastor at St. Paul. Mm-hmm. That's 5 years.
Right.
And that's where I started also Spanish Masses over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was moved to Folsom for eight, and then Davis for six, and then now it's in Francis.
Did you speak Spanish in the Philippines?
We have classes, but we don't use it.
You don't
except
use it.
Like words here and there from grandpa and grandparents, you know. Yeah, although some of the words are used. But I went to Mexico and to Morelia for those studies, for studies. But, you know, after if you don't use it, nada.
Yeah.
And so I could say masses, but speaking is a challenge. I'm learning as everyone notices it in my message in the video. I did the Spanish version of my homily, but I have to have a lot of mentoring for that.
Yeah. Yes.
But I hope I could learn as I go along. Yeah.
So obviously there's some immersion involved in going from being a pastor to being a bishop. Is there a manual?
Interesting, because even Uli, I was talking about, is there a school of bishops for this?
Yeah.
I said, I don't know about this. And so I got when we had our meeting with the California conference last week here at Citizens Hotel. So all the new fights over there, the young bishops, are you going? I said, I don't know. Oh, it's September. And then I asked Bishop Soto, and he said, wait for the letter from Rome, because you will be notified.
Yeah.
And then you can go. Yeah.
Wow. So you will, at some point, have an ad limen, a visit with the Pope.
Maybe.
I can't imagine.
Bob, I cannot even imagine how did I get this situation.
Yeah. Do you... Obviously, you're probably not getting a lot of sleep. Probably restless sleep.
No, every hour.
Do you have good tires on your car? Because this is a big diocese.
That's one of the things that the bishop and Tom was talking about. We need to buy you a car, and I said maybe four wheel drive because running up and down the valley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's 300 miles to Wairika.
I know.
And
what about Tule Lake?
Or Tule Lake, yeah. Tule Lake, Alturas.
Alturas,
you know. Yeah. Happy Camp.
Happy Camp. We've been in Mount Shasta. That's a while.
Yeah. They're all fascinating places.
It is. I've gone as far as Anderson and Reading. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're halfway there.
I'm halfway there. Okay, good. Thanks for the warning. Because I used to, we have meetings as a liaison for the Filipino priest.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there were a couple of times we went to that area.
Right.
Reading area.
So we have a lot more Filipino priests now than when I was growing up in this diocese. They were all Irish priests back then.
Yeah. The mafia.
Irish mafia.
No, yeah. The Filipino mafia.
Yeah. So quite a few now.
More than 40.
40?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So there was even a time when we were 47.
47. Wow. Were they all mostly at the same time?
No, different times. Some graduated here.
Mm-hmm.
Went to school in Menlo Park or in
Oregon, Mount Angel.
Mount Angel.
Yeah.
And some from Rome as well, a few from Rome.
Yeah. So as an auxiliary bishop, are there defined duties as to what that means?
Well, I think the word auxiliary is an assistant, but I think added on is, he mentioned in his letter, to be a vicar general. So, which is the...
What does that mean?
It is an external forum dealing with the life of the priest, so dealing with their life.
Yeah. Right.
Because there's another office, which is the internal forum, which is a vicar for clergy.
Right.
For the internal forum. So, yeah.
And the ordination will be
May 31st.
At the cathedral.
At the cathedral at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Friday. But the night before, we have a solemn vespers, which is, I think, as I understand, there is a ceremony about solemn act of, you know, promise or the creed and then the ring ceremony and all the mitre and then the crosier. So
there are there is gear that comes with the with the ordination.
Yeah, all those things that I'm still working on it. Yeah,
I remember
Bishop Cotta.
Bishop Cotta and I remember
Garcia.
Yeah, Bishop Garcia and Bishop Gagos.
Oh, you remember Gagos?
Yeah. And I remember the first time I met Bishop Quinn, it was a weekday, and I don't know if it was a holy day of obligation, but it was a weekday, and was coming down a street in Roseville. I'd been up in the mountains, and I was with my brother, my late brother, bless his soul, and we saw people pulling into the church in Roseville. I think it was St. Clair wasn't in existence yet.
No, not yet.
And we pulled, so we said, what's going on at the church? And so we pull in, and arriving in a little Pinto was Bishop Quinn.
Francis Quinn.
And he gets out of his car, and he says hi, and we introduce ourselves. We didn't know each other. And he had it was separated because it wouldn't fit in the Pinto. and he was having so much fun telling us about it and showing us how to put it together. And that was my first exposure to Bishop Quinn.
Yeah.
It must have been in the 70s maybe. So, I'm not positive, but I think Bishop Bell maybe ordained me, confirmed me.
Possible.
Yeah.
Possible.
I've got to go back and look. I went to the Bishop Gallegos maternity home dinner last September, and the woman who runs it, Paulette Wiley, the executive director, she was giving a little talk about why this society was named for Bishop Gallegos. And she said, just the other day, I happened to trip upon my confirmation, and I looked at the photo, and she didn't remember who had confirmed her, and it was Bishop Gallegos.
Oh.
And she's like you could feel the Holy Spirit coming down.
Meant to be.
Meant to be, yeah. So I've seen a fair number of bishops here, but way more now that, and you're the first that was within the diocese.
Within the diocese. After 1896,
I think that's right, exactly right. Yeah.
Bishop Grace.
Bishop
Wigan was telling us this is after that many years.
Wow. Yeah. Bishop Cotta came from Fresno.
And Garcia from San Francisco.
And I think Bishop Quinn was from Napa, if I'm not. Well, there's not a diocese, but it would be the diocese of. I don't even know what diocese that was at the time. It's Santa Rosa now, but
one of the comments from the priest, like after that announcement, they said it's good to have a bishop that we know. So it gives me some consolation that there's a connection right there. Yeah.
So let's get to the important stuff. Let's talk about basketball.
Yeah, that's right. That's important.
You are for years now, we've had the priest seminary basketball
playing
game.
Coach.
And you're the playing coach. And for a while, it was priest versus seminarians.
And then we ran out of seminarians.
So we had to combine the two.
Which is good because we have too much priests and everyone wants to play.
Oh, everybody wants to play.
Everyone, so that's a good. Actually, at one time I was suggesting to Father Jovito, like, if you can have an east and or north and south. Or east to west.
Right.
Know, something just like a real brackets.
Like real brackets, yeah.
Yeah. As I was thinking about that, I think it's good. Except that there are some in the north that no way they could form a team.
Yeah.
Maybe some other golfing. But not basketball. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe we can combine north and east or south and west, something like
that. Yeah.
North, west, southeast.
That game is coming up on the 18th of June.
Is that right?
That's a Tuesday night at Christian Brothers.
Christian Brothers, yeah.
So you will already have been ordained.
So I have to pray because nobody could touch me, could follow me.
They can't follow you.
No, don't follow me.
Oh, can you imagine?
You have to allow me to sit
and the And the officials won't be able to call a foul on you.
That'd be funny.
And so that will be fun. And, of course, the Vocations Dinner is coming up on the 15th, I believe, of June, in Auburn.
Interesting, because I said in my messaging to the video that, you know, pleading for all families in the diocese to make every home a school of prayer.
Yeah.
To plant the seed of vocation, whatever that vocation be.
And we should point out your video to the diocese is on the diocesan website, scd.org, Sacramento Catholic
Diocese.
.org, and be sure and watch it. So as you look forward to that, I mean, it seems like you're going to be busier being a pastor and a bishop. Everybody, you know, you're already a bishop in everybody's mind. And everybody wants to shake your hand. Everybody wants to congratulate you.
Take a photo.
Yeah.
Like today.
That will, especially at the festival, I'm sure, or
festival,
after Mass.
Everyone. After Mass.
Yeah.
Festival. And
So that's a full-time job all by itself to be a celebrity.
Then I think we have a celebration in Davis on the 17th.
Of May. Oh, very good.
I think that's in the evening, maybe. Yeah, I know they're excited for me to go back for some kind of...
They're probably going to lock you up and not let you go.
That's right.
there are some people there that... So how did you come upon basketball? Is that just something you played as a kid?
I was in the Philippines... If Mexico has all soccer field, every corner, the Philippines has all
basketball
court.
Wow. Outdoor,
of course. Yeah. Only lately when, you know, all the athletic, association that they have an indoor, but most of the time it's outdoor.
Yeah.
So that's where I started. I played basketball all my life, baseball, and
Basketball, your favorite?
Basketball's my favorite. I used to be in Little League Baseball back home when I was in elementary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why when I was at St. Paul, I did my first pitch here at Rivercats.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that was a long time, 20 years ago. Yeah. I still have a photo.
Yeah?
I still have a photo.
Was that one of those Father's Day?
Father's Day. And then
I've been to a number of those. Yeah.
Yeah, that was my the only time that I did.
And now the A's are going to be here.
I know. A crazy.
Can you imagine throwing out the first pitch for the A's? They'll probably sign you up. they need a little bit of pitching help.
The city will be busier.
Yeah.
It will be the home game and.
Yeah, they'll. That's really interesting. Of course, they're not going to let them use the Sacramento name, though.
Really?
Because they did. They don't. They're going to move to Las Vegas, and they don't want people to start identifying them as the Sacramento A's, so they say they're just going to call themselves the A's.
The A's.
Yeah. I'm going to call them the YOLO A's because they're in YOLO, County.
It's really YOLO.
Yeah. When I was a little kid, the Giants and the Dodgers were still in New York. And,
oh, that's right.
And if you had told me that while I was still in Davis that – a Major League Baseball team would come to YOLO County, I wouldn't have believed you.
But I don't know, 3 years.
3 years. Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to the Rivercats. I mean, they're going to play too.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine their attendance will be very good. I mean, if people have a choice to go to the A's or go to the Rivercats, they're more. I mean, Rivercats would be a little cheaper probably, but not a lot. The concessions will be the same because they're not going to switch the concessions. And
but did I hear about expanding the seats or?
A little bit. I know the Major League wants them to expand, you know, because it's only 14,000. And I think the next smallest is probably 35. So it's really small.
Yeah.
And I suspect it will be instantly sold out because Sacramento would just love to.
Oh, this is a. Baseball city.
It's a baseball city, and the major leagues will never even look here because you got the two teams in the Bay Area, and they said, "Well, you've already got that."
Yeah, we identify ourselves with those two teams.
Exactly. So that would be very interesting.
Yeah, and all the hotels. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a growing Filipino population in the Diocese of Sacramento.
There is.
And the Bay Area.
And the Bay Area. And even in the Folsom area, because in that area, you're gold country, because I think Intel has drawn a lot of Filipinos. When I was there, there were a lot of newcomers from the Philippines, family coming because of the computer world.
Right.
Yeah. They're into the computers.
Yeah.
And of course, the nurses.
Yeah.
The medical professions.
Yes. I went to Mass one time in Pinol, and it was the entire parish seemed to be Filipino.
Oh, yeah.
Vallejo
is.
And Vallejo as well.
It's
Filipino
parish. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there are only a few spots that are non-Filipinos.
Yeah.
Non-Filipinos. Yeah.
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 Such an addition to our culture.
Yeah. It is. It reminds me about the gospel. The first reading today, Paul. Yeah. I was preaching to different cultures and customs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, I mean, In our diocese, we have maybe 8 different languages that we celebrate Mass.
I think so.
Something like that. Yeah. And L.A. is like 35 or just some unbelievable amount.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have to have a versatile priest.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
to switch on and off.
Well, you know, I can't imagine. I wish when I took Spanish in high school, I'd paid more attention.
I know.
You know, I mean, I know the vocabulary words, but I never learned to speak
to use it in
everyday language.
Everyday language, yeah.
I think you almost have to immerse. You know, you have to maybe go to Mexico or speak only Spanish.
Yeah, we have 12 units in the Philippines, Spanish, during my time.
Mm-hmm.
12 units.
Wow.
Yeah.
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 So is it's almost, you almost have to be bilingual in this diocese, though, now.
Yeah, you have to. Otherwise, you know, it's difficult.
Yeah. I don't know if we have any parishes that don't offer us at least a Spanish Mass.
There are some, but people would come to you and they speak in Spanish. So
right.
Picking it up, at least you can understand a little bit and then learn how to respond.
Yeah.
And they're very understanding.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes our, you know, deficiency of us expressing ourselves. I mean, the Latino community understands.
Yeah, yeah. Bishop, when you look at the Catholic Church today in the United States, in this diocese, what are your hopes for the church? What are your dreams for the church?
I think it reminds me, that question reminds me of the Eucharistic revival, because I noticed after 25 years here, you know, our belief in the presence of Jesus, I don't know if it's really, really, if there was a real feeling of unbelief, you know, about the real presence.
The real presence. Yeah,
because people would, this is my personal observation, that, you know, when there's something that would come in the way, the last thing to be sacrificed is coming to Jesus in the encounter.
Mm-hmm.
There was a busy, there was a game,
right.
You know, and there was a birthday celebration.
Sure.
And there was a, oh, our vacation is set already. So I think it's because wherever we go, we can always have an encounter. There's always a church. So my hope that, you know, as, you know, to exercise my charge, as I would try my best to really underscore and put a lot of emphasis about the real encounter with Jesus in the Eucharist, so that wherever we go, just like in the gospel today, I am the vine, you are the branches.
Right.
Yeah. It's a beautiful metaphor of a union with
right.
Jesus.
Right.
And then isn't that a beautiful thing to be connected with Jesus? Because everything we become, we have Jesus always in us.
Right.
So just like, you know, especially in our part of this country, in the northern part, especially of California, we know about vine branches.
Yes, we do.
We have that. It's a beautiful imagery that we can always understand.
Yes.
That branches produces fruit from the vine.
From the vine, yeah.
And then the vine, you would bring out its fruit through the branches. So it's just that the it's like one, when you see one, you see the other.
Yeah.
And that is a beautiful gift for Jesus to say that. Meaning we already have that indelible, you know, mark of being one with Jesus. Yeah. So, and that's maybe in some other forum or ministry we can bring that, you know, to intensify.
Yeah.
That it is really true. It is a life-giving. It is putting into life's perspective.
I'm very excited about the Eucharistic revival.
Yeah.
I think it's going to bear great fruit. I really do. And it's given me, just in casual conversation with people, the opportunity to express my belief in the real presence. And in fact, I say, you know, it's more than a belief. It's a truth.
It is a truth.
And, you know, it's one thing if I believe, but it's a truth. It didn't matter if I believe or I don't. It's
exactly.
True.
Exactly.
You know, and I've had people say, "Wow, you really do believe that?" And I say, "Yeah, it's because it's true."
Yeah.
And I think it can give people who are maybe on the edge or something that, wow, this, let's look at this a little more.
Yeah, the truth of Jesus' presence is not dependent on our belief.
No, that's right.
Our belief would encounter that truth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I always look at it, belief is here, truth is here. You know. And
yeah. And I think, you know, the more we get closer to that beautiful encounter, the more we can make decisions according to, you know, God's will. I always believe that, you know.
What do you want from us? Our prayers, I'm sure.
Well, the same. I always have that. You know, people asking me about what can I do for you, Father?
Mm-hmm.
I said the same request. I would like to ask, especially to the listeners now in this radio program, that please offer a prayer for me every day, that I may carry all the charge that the Pope has. And the hierarchy is giving me, being an auxiliary bishop in this diocese. With your prayers, I am very confident that I could carry all this responsibility. With God's help, of course. With God's grace. So please pray for me.
You can be assured of everyone's prayers, and including my wife Shelley and I, our kids.
The kids. I miss the kids from Davis. I had my first confirmation yesterday in my parish, and it's good because I know all of them. So it brings all the energy back.
I remember during the pandemic, Easter Sunday, and the church is closed.
I remember that very
well. And my our teenage son, he's the tech wizard, you know. We're not just watching it on our phone. He's got it on the TV in the living room. And we're all there, the whole family. And you're giving the homily. And it was as if the church was full. And I said to the kids, I said, "Do you understand how hard it is to look out at nobody and be passionate and be, you're not seeing people nodding or smiling or that nobody's laughing at a joke. Nobody's saying, 'Wow, that was profound, Father.' Nothing."
I remember that well.
How was that?
It was the camera and then the operator.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Karen, the sacristan.
Right. And that was it.
That was it. That was it. And then they keep on remembering, "Father, remember? The camera is the
Look
people.
Look at the camera.
The camera is the people." So I pretend like I've been talking to a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. It was, nobody would have known that church was empty.
A learning curve.
Yeah.
A learning curve, because I remember one time when we have to retake it because of the signal.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
start over.
Yeah, but because the mass is on, you have to finish the mass.
Yeah.
And then start over. The recording.
Yeah, you can't stop.
You're
going
to stop the mass because you have to finish and then back again. Yeah.
You don't do two takes on mass.
that was a very, very learning times.
Yeah.
In the new concept of priestly life.
Yeah, and yet we got Zoom out of the deal.
And
Zoom has helped, I think. Connect people in ways that they might not have been connected before.
Yes. There's ups and downs, because I've been challenging now, especially in the camera, like we're zooming. Like, you know, there's no substitute with Jesus here in the presence. If you're able, come.
Yeah.
Of course, for those cannot come because of whatever reason, then you stay connected through the electronic form. But if you're able, there is no substitute. Yep. In the actual encounter, Jesus present par excellence.
Yeah. Bishop-elect Ray Bercival, we're thrilled. Everybody in this diocese is thrilled, and many, many prayers are coming your way.
Thank you, Bob. And it's good to have somebody interviewing me that I know, a friend and a buddy in the basketball.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A buddy in basketball. So. Thank you again. Say hi to everyone, to your family, and to
sure
the friends that we have in Davis.
My family and all of Davis are praying for you.
Shout out to all of them. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town, and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento, who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission, and also to support the diocese, and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org. I want to take a minute to talk about the annual Catholic Appeal, the 2024 annual Catholic Appeal. So important here. In the Diocese of Sacramento, so many ministries supported by the annual Catholic Appeal, and the people in the Diocese of Sacramento have always been so generous. But a wonderful brochure, a pamphlet, really, that you may have received in the mail, and on the back cover, a picture, maybe it's front, I guess that's the front cover, Deacon Kevin Staskow, says, I really think that everyone has something to give. When Jesus was literally dying on the cross, he found the strength to turn to the thief being crucified next to him and minister to that person. So often we have all kinds of excuses not to reach out to those next to us. Indeed, today you will be with me in paradise. And you look through this brochure and you will learn the many, many, many ministries that are supported by the annual Catholic Appeal. And 25% of your donation goes back to the parishes for social ministry at your parish. 50% supports charities, Catholic Charities of Sacramento, and the members in that are Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, which serves Butte, Glen, Shasta, Siskiyou, Tehama, and Trinity counties in this 20-county diocese, and Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services right here in the greater Sacramento area. Also, associate members are Camp Recreation, serving Northern California, the Mother Teresa Maternity Home in Placerville, the Rancho Cordova Food Locker in greater Sacramento, the Upper Room Dining Hall in Placerville. Many of you have worked at those places, are very familiar with those places, or have availed yourself of the wonderful services they provide. 25% supports education, seminary formation, and Catholic school tuition assistance. Partners in the Annual Catholic Appeal and Catholic Charities of Sacramento include Anderson Cottonwood Christian Assistance, Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home right here in Sacramento that does such wonderful work, the Catholic Ladies Relief Society up in Chico, Community Assistance Network in Greenville, Portola, and Quincy up in the hills, Loaves and Fishes in Sacramento, which just does wonderful work with the homeless, Sacramento Life Center, which has saved so many lives here in the Sacramento area, Salvation Army Food Shelf in Susanville, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and their seven district councils, the North State, Placer Yuba Sutter Butte, Sacramento East, South Sacramento Elk Grove, Sacramento Metro Area, and Yolo Delta and Solano. Also, the Stanford Settlement Neighborhood Center in Sacramento and the Wellsprings Women's Center in Sacramento, plus Yuba City, Yuba Sutter, Right to Life, the two counties just north of Sacramento. More than 100 programs provide things like counseling, emergency fund, shelter and clothing, permanent and transitional housing, job training, pregnancy counseling, post and prenatal care, independent living skills, mentoring, parenting skills, after-school care, refugee resettlement, citizenship and immigration services, and jail ministry. Our gifts help people who are mentally ill, homeless, disaster survivors, immigrants, elderly, developmentally disabled, incarcerated, working families, refugees, at-risk youth, the unborn, pregnant women, the hungry, and single parents. Such a wide, wide range of our Catholic mission here on this earth and in this diocese of Sacramento. One of the programs through Northern Valley Catholic Social Services is the court-appointed special advocate program, which is operated out of all the superior courts in the state of California, and it partners with Northern Valley Catholic Social Service to help kids who need advocates in the courts. They talk about, in this pamphlet, a young woman named Isabel, who is devoted to ensuring a positive support system for foster kids now and for their future. As a court-appointed special advocate, a program administered with compassion and dedication by Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, Isabel gives kids the voice they need in court to have a positive path in life. She was once in foster care herself. The severe trauma a child goes through is all too familiar. Today, she's reunited with her parents, has a family of her own, and is focused on becoming a lawyer. Northern Valley Catholic Social Services gives her the opportunity to advocate in court for children with stories like hers. Again, the annual Catholic Appeal, give generously, give whatever you can, whether it's a small amount, a large amount. Also, more men can say yes to the call to the priesthood. Support from the annual Catholic Appeal helps seminarian Eric Patrick, who is pictured in this brochure, to become Father Eric Patrick this past June. We've had him on our program, a delightful priest. Father Patrick is earnestly hopeful that he can be a conduit for the experience of God's mercy and love. With coughs offset by the appeal, the 12 men now in seminarian formation can focus less on financial worries and more on preparing to serve in our parishes. The annual Catholic Appeal, a wonderful, wonderful way to support so many ministries in the Diocese of Sacramento. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone.
From the love of my own come. deal.